I love the story of the lady who had her 60th birthday. She was from Brooklyn, and she decided to prepare her last will and testament. She went to her rabbi to make two final requests. The first request was she insisted on cremation. "What is your second request?" the rabbi asked, and she said, "I want my ashes scattered over Bloomingdale's." He said, "Bloomingdale's? Why over Bloomingdale's?" And then she said, "Then I'll be sure my daughters visit me twice a week." Oh, my. Well, listen, so good to have you here. I want to share a message this morning titled, "How to Get Through the Holiday Blues." You know, as I mentioned earlier, the Sunday after Christmas, there's this big letdown. You know, December is a month of, as a culture, we build up momentum, and there's shopping, there's different engagements and functions we attend, and so we have this great buildup. But then the Sunday after Christmas, and even next Sunday, there's this huge letdown, this sense of kind of lowness or a sense of having the blues. And so I wanted to share a message today of how God will help us through this. It's a formula. It's three simple steps. It's things that you and I can do that I hope will be encouraging to each of you here today. Our primary text is Isaiah 40, 31. It's in your notes, and let's read that verse together, shall we? "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." This is one of my favorite texts. Periodically, I'll refer to it, but there's great strength in this text for people who are weary and tired and worn down, and that's where we're at this morning. And in this text, it refers to the eagle. Now, here's a picture of one, and Isaiah is saying, hey, there's something happens inside a person who does certain things before God. And the end result is they shall mount up on wings like an eagle. Now, an eagle is a symbol of strength. It's a symbol of power. It's our national bird. It's something that we represents just the strength of who we want to be. And so I want you to look at that picture, because that is what God wants to do for you when we feel low and down and we have a sense of weariness. And so I want you to understand what waiting is. And three simple thoughts, it's in your notes. First of all, when Isaiah says we have to wait upon the Lord, let's walk through this verse to understand the formula of how to become an eagle and to be strong and to regain that sense of strength. Letter A in your notes. Waiting is intentional stillness before God. When you and I wait upon God in His presence, it's intentionally trying to be still on the inside before God. December is the complete opposite of that. We are on the go. We are moving. We have things to accomplish, places to go, people to see, things to purchase. And so we have this motion element of our life. And this verse smacks against it and says, if you want to experience the strength of an eagle, there's an intentional stillness that we have to practice. Psalm 46:10. I love this verse, very simple. It says, "Be still and know that I'm God." Let me tell you what still means. It means to relax. It means to sink. It means to drop your wings. Don't fly for a while. Just relax. sink, drop the wings. And when you and I are still, something happens to us. Letter B in your notes. Understand that waiting is this. We transfer dependence from self to God. In other words, when you and I get still in God's presence and we just quiet our hearts before Him, we reflect, we have an inner sense of relaxing and align ourselves with Him, we transfer our dependence from ourself over to God. I find that during December, I get ramped up. I mean, you do too. And of course, with the pandemic, we've been at a slower pace. We haven't done as many things we normally do. But even still, December is a month of motion. And when I get really engaged and my energy starts to flow, I begin to kind of take over the control thing. And so when I get still before God, I have to back off. And what am I doing? I'm transferring my sense of reliance and dependence from myself. I say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to relax. I'm going to allow you to somehow come into my life and settle me down. Here's a verse from Corinthians. Paul says this, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. If you're exhausted this morning, if you have this sense of, wow, you're spent, find stillness before God. Drop your wings. And then intentionally, you transfer dependence. Say, God, I'm just going to trust you from myself to God. And we find something new happening inside us. And finally, letter C. I love this one. The third thing we do when we wait upon God is this. We absorb His presence. We absorb His presence. Here's a verse from John 15. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Vine and branch, you can picture that in your mind. You know what happens in that connection? The sap, the nutrients flow from the main vine to the branches of the tree. When you and I have faith in Christ and He's living in us, you know what happens? Nutrients, this sap, this sense of energy flows from Him to us. He's the vine, we're the branches. And when we wait upon God, that's what happens. We're intentionally still. We drop our wings. We relax. We then transfer our sense of dependence from ourself to God, and then we just absorb His presence into our lives. And so Isaiah said this, they that wait, they that spend time in that position, something's going to happen to that individual. And he says, hey, they will mount up with wings as eagles. We're going to talk about how that happens. So that's what waiting is. Now, I want to share three benefits of waiting on God. Three simple benefits. So let's get started. Number one in your notes. Here's the first one. The first thing that happens when we wait on God is you renew your strength. You renew your strength. Now, read with me again, verse 31. It's under point number one. Let's read that together. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. See, the word renew, it means that something is being passed through. There's an exchange happening. And you know, we had flooding on Christmas Day. It got up pretty high, the Delaware River here in Walton, and it went outside the banks, and there was a sense of flooding. You see, when we are renewed, there's a sense of flooding of His power and presence into our life. It's a process. It's something that happens. And so you're probably here this morning, and you know what you need? We need to be renewed. We need to experience this pass-through of His power to us. And Isaiah says, whoever waits spends time waiting, just being still, they are going to be renewed inwardly. In Psalm 130, it's actually verses 5 and 6, I believe. Let's read together what's written by the psalmist. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I put my hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchmen wait for the morning. More than the watchmen wait for the morning. Here's what he's saying. The watchman was the person on the city wall, and they would keep a lookout during the night on behalf of the city. They were like the first responder. They would see if there's any threat to the city. And the watchman would wait for morning. They just couldn't wait until the sun came up because it was a new day. And so the psalmist here says, I wait for the Lord more than the watchman waits for the morning sun to come up. I've got some friends in Florida, Joe and Mary Gonzalez. I don't know, they've been up here before, and I don't know if you remember them. But I was texting Mary on Christmas Eve and just wished her and her husband Joe's, wished them a Merry Christmas, and we were just kind of going back and forth. And here's what she texted me back. Listen to this. She says, I've been chained to the kitchen 2 days. Going to bed now to start again in the morning. Have a good night. She's been chained to the kitchen 2 days. She says, I'm going to bed. It was 10:07 when she sent me that text. And she says, I'll start again in the next day. You know what I think she needs today? She needs to be renewed, doesn't she? I mean, you might be here today and you feel exactly like that too. I mean, the output during December, or I thought some people, you know, they work Christmas Day, so other families or parents or moms or dads that have kids can be home. And some people maybe do a double shift and they go the extra mile. And so we have output in different ways. But understand, you can be renewed today by waiting in God's presence. It's not passive, it's very active. In other words, we say, God, I need you to overflow your power into my life, make it like a flood, come into me and renew my strength. So point number one, that's what happens, the first benefit on waiting on God. Number two, the second thing that happens when we wait on God is this. We become recentered. We become recentered. Now, the word recentered, we could use the word rebalanced. Now, there's a great story in the Gospels about Mary and Martha. And you'll remember this story. They're sisters, and Jesus comes to their house. And so Martha is the type A behavior, and she's just busy getting the house ready. She cleaned it. She's making the meal. The disciples are there. It's a big event. She's going to make it happen, keep everybody happy. And so Martha is on it. Mary, her sister, has just pulled back, and she's like sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what he has to say. She's not doing the Martha stuff. She's just soaking in the teaching of Jesus. Now, understand there's a place to be Martha, and there's a time to be a Mary. And so Jesus is talking with Martha. Martha says, hey, this isn't fair. I'm doing all the work, and my sister Mary's not doing much of anything. Have you ever felt like that? And, hey, this just isn't right. And here's what Jesus said. He says, Martha, he says, don't be worried or fretful. He says, Mary has chosen the better part. So what does that mean? It means that Mary was taking time to intentionally listen to Christ's teaching. Now, Martha did all the work in terms of the food and all that stuff, and Martha's are amazing people. But listen, you and I have to have a balance here. We have to get recentered at times, because if we go too much as a Martha, we're going to feel exhausted about all the time. If we do too much as a Mary, let me go the other way. You know, some things never get done. There has to be a balance here. So we find that when we become recentered, it's when we quiet our hearts and we somehow get things into focus again. Now, in the book of Habakkuk, I love this text. Habakkuk has a problem. He's got a complaint against God. Maybe you have one too. We sometimes life just doesn't seem fair, and so Habakkuk is expressing it. And so let's read these four paragraphs under Habakkuk, and then we'll talk about them. Here's what he says. Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrong. Why then do you tolerate the treacherous? Why are you silent while the wicked swallow up those more righteous than themselves? I will stand at my watch and station myself on the ramparts. I will look to see what he will say to me and what answer I am to give this complaint. Then the Lord replied, write down the revelation and make it plain on tablets so that a herald may run with it. For the revelation awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. It will certainly come and will not delay. Here's what Habakkuk is saying. He had a problem that the wicked person or the people that weren't always on the up and up, they somehow got the advantage in life. And he says, Lord, it just seems unfair that people like that seem to get the front row seat or they get the first place. And the people who are righteous and trying to do right, they just aren't in that position. And here's what he says, but I will stand and watch. He would take up a place of waiting before God. And in this place of waiting, God speaks into a heart that is centered on him. Don't focus on your problem. Don't get centered on the outer issue of what's going on. Center your heart on God himself. Let him speak to you. And this is what it says. The revelation awaits an appointed time. In the end, it will not prove false. Though it linger, wait for it. You see, when you and I wait in quietness before God and we center our lives on him, we will have clarity of thinking going forward that we wouldn't have otherwise. But I find at the end of the year, when we get to a place of the Sunday after Christmas, we're a tired people. And sometimes it's hard to process issues in life. But the answer is here. We have to take time to get recentered on God himself. And when we do that, he says he will speak into our hearts because we are able to receive it. Well, number one, the first benefit, you renew your strength. Number two, you and I have to become recentered on God himself. Number three, and I love this one. The third benefit is this. We will prepare to mount up. You and I, when we wait on God, we prepare to mount up. Let me explain that. I want you to look at this eagle. This eagle is not flying. This eagle is just in a resting posture. But the eagle's doing something. It's preparing for its next flight. It's holding back. It's in a sitting position. The wings are sunk. They're dropped. They're in a holding position. And the eagle is waiting for the next flight. Now, Isaiah says this, when you wait upon the Lord, you renew your strength, we become recentered in the process, and then he says, they shall mount up. You see, the words mount up means to ascend or to climb or to take off. There are times in life, listen, that we need to climb and ascend and go after it. There are other times where we need to hold back because we are not ready for the next assignment. I think today, this Sunday, what we're feeling, there's a sense of weariness, and so we are not really ready to soar. We're ready to rest. We're ready to just abide in God's presence and have a sense of alignment with him to restore our energy. He goes on to say this. It says, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, sometimes in life, the next assignment, whatever we go after next, sometimes we take off running. I mean, life can be like that. Other times, we may just walk. It may be a slower pace. But when we are waiting, we are preparing to mount up for the next assignment. Eugene Peterson, in the Message translation of the Bible, it's from Matthew chapter 12. He says this. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. This is Jesus speaking. Get away with me and you will recover your life. Isn't that great? You will recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. And get this. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. You and I have to learn the unforced rhythms of grace. You see, we need to live in rhythms in life, whether it be our sleep, whether it be what we eat and our exercise. We have to have rhythms. And when we live in a rhythm, life is good. When we are out of rhythm, life is not good, correct? I mean, it can be, there are times in life where we are totally thrown off rhythm. But there's rhythms of grace. They're unforced. And there are times where we need to rest. We need to be still. We need to abide. We need to transfer our dependence from ourselves to God. We need to just absorb his presence. And what happens is it's preparing us for the next mounting up, the next assignment. In Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18, he says this, yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. I want us to understand that God longs to be gracious to you, but it takes waiting in his presence to prepare you for the next mounting up assignment. And so the key here is just to abide like that. And I'm going to go back, have Allison go back to the picture of the eagle. And I want you just to look at this. The eagle is not flying. The eagle's wings are not spread. The eagle's in a resting posture. You know what it's doing? It's preparing for its next flight. And so you and I have to do the same thing. We just have to take time and be renewed, be recentered, and we're preparing to mount up again for the next flight, whatever that is. Sometimes it takes days, sometimes it may take longer. Depends who we are, our station in life, and so forth. But be renewed. That's what God wants for you. Well, I want to close with four pictures or four slides, four quotes. Here's the first one. Trust in God's timing. It's better to wait a while and have things fall into place than to rush and have things fall apart. Hey, if you're waiting on something big picture in life and there's a sense of impatience, just wait. It's better to wait and let things fall into place rather than to rush and have things fall apart. Here's the second one. Don't underestimate what God is doing in your season of waiting. Are you waiting for something big to happen? Something that maybe it's a promise from his word, maybe it's some circumstance to change, maybe it's you changing. Don't ever underestimate what happens when you just have this season of waiting before God. Here's the third one. just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it won't. You may be here this morning and there's something in your heart that you just want to have happen in your life. God's message to you this morning is this: just because it hasn't happened yet doesn't mean it won't. And then finally, here's the last one. If God is making you wait, then be prepared to receive more than you asked for. You see, God is a God of abundance, and if the waiting is an extended period of time, listen, when the time comes for it to happen, it'll be bigger and better and deeper than probably we ever thought or imagined. So the last picture, I guess, is that of an eagle. I want us to go back to that. Here it is. It's the eagle that's flying, and Isaiah says, hey, if you and I learn how to wait for in getting through the holiday blues here, the sense of exhaustion and fatigue, if we get still before God, transfer our dependence from self to God, we absorb his presence, our strength will be renewed, we will become recentered, and we will be preparing to mount up for the next flight, the next assignment, the next task that God would have us to do. And that, my friends, is what God has for you, even the Sunday after Christmas when we're all exhausted. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning that you have a word for us, your people. And I pray that each person here today will absorb the truth of what it means to wait before you, to be renewed, to be recentered, and then prepare to mount up. I pray that every person here will be encouraged and they'll find strength, that they will be renewed, that, Lord, you will be their God in somehow, some way. You will help us today as we journey forward, looking into 2021, that you will be our God and you'll bless us with your presence. In your name we pray. Amen.